When we talk about a good job leading that song, Terry, good job. Singing was wonderful setting up here, listening to all of you sing so loudly and out, and that's a challenging song to sing, and it just was marvelous. We are glad to see the sunshine today. It's delightful to be able to enjoy the sun. I was afraid it would be cloudy and rainy, but it's not, and we're glad you're here, especially if you're visiting with us. We're happy that you've chosen to be here today, and we look forward to hopefully having a chance afterwards, Miss, to visit with you a little bit more. I'd like for you to take your Bibles out this morning. We're going to dive into our study because we want to move right along, because at 2 o'clock we're going to assemble back here, many of you, for a wedding. And our sister Charlotte assured me this morning that it's still going to happen, so that's good news. Paul writes to Titus, fellow servant in Christ. In fact, the New King James says, Paul is a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I am so thankful we can read those words. And I hope this morning that is the reason that you are here, that you're gathered here, because you want to lay hold, you want to take hold, you want to grasp eternal life. In fact, he goes on and he writes, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. And then he says to Titus, a true son in our common faith. When you look at the Bible and look at particularly at the New Testament, you see the church began in Acts chapter 2. You learn real quick that there was not the division that we see in our religious world today. You learn about the church that the Lord established, that He promised to build. And you learn how the apostles worked to preserve the importance and the reality of that doctrine that was so essential for the foundation to be built upon Christ. And you also learn about the hope that was there for the church, for those who obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and were committing their lives to live faithfully. And that's why we can read words like in verse 4, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Look at those words. Those words change lives. Those words mean something important. And as we look then at verse 5, he says, for this reason. When you just look at what he's already said, he says, for this reason, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. How many of you have ever put a puzzle together? Jigsaw puzzle. How many of you like to put jigsaw puzzles together? I've always thought something was a little bit wrong with folks that enjoyed it. No offense, of course. Maybe there's something wrong with me because I can't stand it. I can't figure out, first of all, how you ever figure out how all those little pieces will, this will be one that will go here and this one will be one that goes here. By the time I get done forcing them together, it looks like I built a bridge and not a puzzle. Because it goes up here and it twists over here and goes down that way. Well, some of you do enjoy it, and I'm glad you do, but probably there's something about it you don't enjoy, and that's when there's some pieces missing. That's okay if those pieces are still there, right? Because you can grab those pieces and find those pieces, and you can finally, eventually, by working it out, put them all together. It is interesting that what Paul is writing here relates to the pieces of a puzzle. He says, for this reason I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking. The concept of setting in order is the idea of putting all the pieces together. Our Lord built the church and He designed it for us. And He gave us instructions so that we might have a complete and perfect body in Christ. But yet, we as humans understand the fact that sometimes we have to work at making sure we got all the pieces put together. How many of you can look in the mirror and look at your life and say, ah, you're perfect? I wanted to look good for the wedding today, so I worked on my hair a little bit, but just got the first thing this morning coming here, I looked in the mirror and go, uh-oh. I got a piece missing here. It's hanging down there. Yeah, it happens, right? We know that sometimes our life's not a life that has all the pieces together. In fact, Paul acknowledges that there's some things lacking. And so he tells Titus, I want you to put in order those things that are lacking. And what he's saying there is, I want you to put those things together that are being left off. Or they're lacking, they're absent. And also that word means to fail to possess what is needed or required. If we go back to this slide and we see here, we've got the word church on a puzzle. We've got some pieces that are missing. They're lacking. They're not there as required. And so God wants Titus to understand that if there's pieces missing, they need to be placed in order. How many of you have ever tackled a 2,000 piece puzzle? We got some brave hands going up. After what I said, you're probably not wanting to admit it, right? Well, please forgive me for that. If you love doing this, I appreciate it really, because it's not something that I can ever see myself being very good at. But can you imagine you're down to the, probably 1,987 pieces already in place and you're missing four key pieces. Okay, you're smiling. Can you imagine working yourself down through all of these pieces? You're up to 1,900 and something and you got four pieces missing that didn't go into the box. Would that create a sense of frustration? Would you be ready to go buy another puzzle to find those four pieces? And what if you put that one together? And guess what? Same result. Four pieces missing. Now I can imagine what I would do with those pieces. It'd be at the start of a bonfire and I'd roast a hot dog. Enough would be enough. The idea that he's using here is that exactly, lacking, to fail to possess what is needed or required. Now, I can relate to this. I loved, as a kid, putting models together. And what I liked about it is that when you bought those models, all those pieces were attached together. Have you ever noticed that? You could tell real quick if you had one missing. Occasionally, I'd go to a garage sale as a kid and with my mom and dad, and we'd see some puzzles or some models there. Not puzzles, I wouldn't buy those, but we'd see some models, but they hadn't been put together yet. So what I would do would be to pull out the box and make sure there was no missing pieces, because I wanted the complete model. Nothing more frustrating than trying to build an airplane and have a wing missing. Just doesn't work out very good. Paul uses the same word in Titus chapter 3, verse 13. When he says, send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. What he's asking for is that they be given those things that were necessary and needed so that they would have their puzzles all together, all the pieces, so that they can make the journey. It's interesting to read about the journeys that folks made in the United States across the West during the Oklahoma land rush or the gold rushes of the West, like California. One of the challenges those people had was to get everything that they needed to make their journey so that they would not be lacking. Because you didn't want to get halfway across the western part of the United States and come to find out you're going to starve to death. Not a good scenario, is it? So they worked hard to make sure they had all their pieces together, that they had what they needed. Because to fail to possess what was needed, required, was a very serious situation to find themselves in. In James chapter 2, James also uses the word Paul uses. But look how it's translated. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food. Then he goes on talking about taking care of those folks. But he uses the word destitute. In other words, he's saying there's something missing. They're lacking. So if you have a brother or sister who is missing daily food, there's a problem. And that problem needs to be dealt with. Which brings us to the first point I want to make this morning. If we're going to look at something and make a determination that there's something lacking, like I did in the mirror, I looked there and I saw all these hairs out of place, and there was a whole lot of them gray for some reason. Well, I had to look and I had to see, and I made a determination. And so there was some recognition and identification. And so this morning, if we're talking about something lacking, there has to be a determination, a recognition, identification. Clearly, in James, we have those who are destitute of daily food. They are lacking, and there's a determination of that. It's easy to see, isn't it? If you've got a bunch of hungry kids, Bob, in Africa, you can tell, can't you? Absolutely. Because they're hungry, and there's signs of that hunger, and so it's very, very easy to identify. But some things are not so easy to identify. They're lacking, but it's not so evident. For instance, here we have a nice family group right here. Some really nice folks, and they're posing for a family picture. But one of those folks is lacking wisdom. Can you tell which one? Can they even tell by looking in the mirror? If my nose is missing, I look in the mirror, I'm going to see that. But if there's missing wisdom in my life, it may not be so easy to see. But as we look at James, it talks about those who lack wisdom. And so when something is identified and we're able to come to a recognition that there is something lacking, even if it's wisdom, then we are forced to make a decision. We have to ask the question, what will we do? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, then that creates a process that's going to require, for those who see it, a decision. What are we going to do? Well, James tells us that we need to be concerned about feeding these people. We're not to say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and not give them the things which are needed for the body. Because he says, what does that profit? Well, we know the answer to that question. That's not going to help anybody at all if we just walk away. So a decision needs to be made to act. If a person lacks wisdom, what's the decision that needs to be made? Well, James says, let him ask God. We're lacking wisdom. We do just like Solomon did. We ask God for it. And what's the promise? Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so there, it is important, once it's identified, that we act. But here's the problem. It's real easy to just say, okay, I'm missing that. All right, we'll just leave it behind. It's interesting that in the ESV version, those of you who have that, Titus 1 and verse 5, we see the translation translated like this, so that you might put what remained into order. You take a box of puzzle pieces, you open it up, you start to work, and you finally get down to the 1996 pieces, and you look over there and there's your four missing pieces. Wonderful. They're not there yet. They still remain, don't they? They're not plugged in yet. But they exist. And it's God's plan that when we look at our lives spiritually and we see something missing, that we have remaining what is necessary to plug them in. He didn't leave us without. In fact, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and that's significant because we must not accept things left behind. We'll be like these guys traveling out in the middle of the West, and they look at their food supply and their needed essentials, and they find out, uh-oh, they're still behind. They're remaining over 1,000 miles away from us. They exist, but they're not within reach. God doesn't want us to think that when it comes to His will, it's not in reach. We need to not accept that. We need to recognize that God has given what we need spiritually. And that is significant because when we think about it, it's real easy just to be accepting of what's easy. For example, the guy looks in the mirror. James writes in verse 23 of James 1, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and then what happens? He goes away. And what does he do? And I understand this, and the older I get, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. When I look in that mirror, I want to see a 23-year-old. And I like to forget what I do see. But if there's something lacking that needs to be in my life, needs to be dealt with, then it is not good to walk away. A man looks in the mirror. He sees a cancer growing on the side of his cheek. Not good to walk away, is it? If there's something lacking, not good. Something that needs to be observed and it's forgotten, not good. But the easy way is just to forget. But that's not the right way. Why? Because things that are lacking can become the new reality. Here I've got the cancer growing on the side of my face. I say, okay, I'll just accept that and go on. Not a smart move, is it? Not a good thing. It's not good when we see there's needs or things that are lacking to just accept them and go on. That's not God's way when it comes to our spiritual existence. So we have to ask the question, well, then what is acceptable? We don't want things outside of what God wants to be the new reality in our life, do we? So we need to ask the question, what is acceptable? Well, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order things that are lacking. And what does he say? And appoint elders in every city. That's God's plan for the church. That there be elders who shepherd the flock. And notice what we have here. He says, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Paul is saying, I give you this as command. And Paul was authority, wasn't he? He was giving to Titus God's plan. That there be elders appointed in each city. Appoint elders in every city. As I commanded you. And of course, that's the design that God created for the church, isn't it? That there be elders who lead the congregation, who shepherd the flock, who are the overseers. In fact, if you were to go to Acts 20 and 28, or you can look at the slide, Paul is called the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he speaks verbally to them. And Luke records it. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. This is the job of the elders. And Paul goes on, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To do what? To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That is the job of an eldership, isn't it? To oversee, shepherd the flock. And that's God's design. That's God's plan. That's the pieces that must go into the puzzle. And that's God's will. And that is what is acceptable. And that is significant because he goes on and tells Titus the qualifications for those men who are to be appointed. And he lists them. If man is blameless, husband of one wife, and on he goes. And it's interesting. In verse 7, for a bishop, which if you have a different translation, it might read overseer, because that's what a bishop is, an overseer, a shepherd, one who watches the flock. And that's important and necessary, because as you go on and look at Titus, he talks about the importance of sound doctrine. And just as a shepherd protects the sheep in the field, so also are these men designed to watch the flock, to protect it against the wolves in sheep's clothing. So clearly, Qualified men need to be plugged into the puzzle. But you might think, well, that's good, and I understand that, Rick. But what if we can't set in order the things that are lacking? Obviously, in the first century, congregations were established. As they began, there were not qualified men to serve in the eldership, were there? They had to mature. But now, as Paul is writing to Titus, he says it's time to appoint elders in every city. But we say, well, that's good, Rick, but what if we don't have qualified men? What if they're not men to plug into the puzzle? That's a good question, isn't it? Because we do have qualifications. It's essential that people meet them, so we have to understand them. That's very, very important that we understand what the qualifications are. It's also important that we encourage men to desire the office because it's an essential element in the congregation. God wants the flock to have shepherds. But we keep going back. Well, what if we don't have them? What if we don't have those things that we need, that God wants? Well, I think we have a solution. And this morning I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Congregation, I don't know how long it's been since there's been men appointed as elders. But I think you would agree, and most of you that I've had a chance to visit at all with about an eldership agree, congregation needs elders. Pieces are lacking. We need those pieces plugged into the complete puzzle, if you can use that term. It's God's design. It's as Paul gave the command to Titus. So what happens if we're lacking? Here's the challenge. When we go to James chapter 1, verse 5, what does he say? If any of you lacks, of course, wisdom. That's what he's talking about in context. But I think there's a principle that we can make application of. If any of you lacks wisdom, what do? Let him ask God. I want to challenge you from this day forward to add something to your daily prayers. Seriously, add this to your prayer list. Seriously, pray about it. Seriously, think about it. But there's a solution in prayer. God can answer prayer if it's His will. What's the prayer? Well, all I want you to do is to think about the puzzle. Can you still see that puzzle we had, that jigsaw puzzle of the church? And the pieces? I want to challenge you to pray. God, please give the church that meets in Marshfield an eldership. And think about that puzzle. Putting those pieces all together as God designed His church to be complete. It's perfect in its design. You might be thinking, well, we don't have anybody here qualified. Can God work to provide? Did somebody come here in the next month that's qualified to be an elder and then within the year be an elder of the congregation? Could God, through His will, bring us qualified men? I fully believe He can. I believe that God can also help us to see if there's qualified men to hear as we consider the qualifications. But I want you to challenge yourself to find the solution by praying that God will set in order the things that are lacking. And that's so essential. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray. Pray what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. We're thankful that happened. And we've got the church that our God designed. But notice the rest of that part of that verse in the prayer. Jesus said, Your will be done We want to be praying daily that it's God's will done for the congregation that meets at Marshfield. Please pray daily. Make it a serious commitment that God will provide what's missing, what remains, so that we can be set in order as a congregation. But also I want to challenge you to think about at this time your own life. Is there something lacking so that your life is not right with God and you know it? A lot of folks like to put those puzzles together and they put them in a frame and put them on the wall. I see them occasionally when I visit folks. They'll have these beautiful pictures and I'll get a little closer and find out it was a puzzle they put together. But what if there's a big old piece missing out of that puzzle? And it don't even have to be a big one. What if it's just a little one? If there's something to miss, you know it's not complete. And as you look at your life, if you know there's something amiss spiritually that you need to correct, that you need to change, knowing that sin is not acceptable and continual sin has its consequences, then this morning we're going to offer an invitation. For example, if you've not yet been baptized into Christ, that's a big piece of puzzle missing. But this morning, water's ready. If you're ready to surrender, to give your life to Christ, so that you can have remission of sins and walk in that newness of life. And Christians, maybe it's that one little piece that you don't really want to plug in because you kind of like not having it there. Maybe this morning it's time to put the piece in. This morning it's time to make sure your life is complete in Christ. That you're spiritually fit, because our Lord may come at any moment. We need to be prepared. So the question this morning is there something lacking? Then this morning, make the right change. But it's your choice. You have to make the right choice. And please do so as we stand and sing. Would you come?